Welcome to the Northern Affinity Video Podcast. During this session, we will be having an unedited discussion with an expert. And what I'll be planning to do is, during our discussion, get them to teach me something. Teach me about something that's of interest, but also they are an expert in. I'm Michael Edwards, and I'm the founder of the Northern Affinity. And I will tap into our wonderful community to bring you along on my drive for self-improvement and my desire to learn. So please connect with me on various social media platforms, whether it's LinkedIn or Instagram or Twitter. And I'd love to hear from you what subjects you'd like to learn more about, what subjects you think it'd be good for me to learn about. So please, you know, get in contact and let me know. All the details will be in the show notes, and you can send me an email or contact me by the various platforms. I really hope you enjoy the show. So I'm delighted to say that on this version of the video podcast, I'm joined by Danny Wainwright. So welcome, first of all, Danny.
Thank you. Yes, so, it's been here. Thanks for having me.
Oh, no, you're more than welcome. And today we're going to talk about improving business results every month. And I think for a lot of the people, you know, start of a new year, this is such a relevant subject matter. And it's a relevant subject matter all the time, but very much kind of top of thinking, isn't it? Especially early part of the year. But before we jump into that and the kind of talk about what we're going to talk about today, probably a bit of context. I'd love to know a little bit about you and what you do, and then that can kind of frame the conversation. Go ahead, Danny.
Okay, so I'm Danny Wainwright. I'm the founder of Wainwright Consulting. Before I started my business in 2020, I've worked as a chartered accountant for 20 years, basically out in big corporates, getting loads of commercial experience in finance and leading really big teams. But what we do at Wainwright Consulting is we are a bit of a boutique firm, and we offer what we call part-time finance director services. So it's not about sort of the compliance and bookkeeping and tax returns. It's really about adding real commercial value to a business. And that might be things like helping with forecasting, budgeting, pricing, understanding your profitability by product or by client. And we get into strategy, and we get into really helping you drive your business forwards. So we really passionately believe that just because we're smaller businesses, we should still have access to the highest level of commercial finance expertise. And we believe you don't need to hire a full-time FD and have that cost sort of on your books to get the benefits of one. So we go out and work with various businesses to give them that expertise, but at a much more affordable cost.
Excellent. And I think it's probably important to say as well for people listening, if we're talking about cash flow and finances and all that kind of thing, you know, there's obviously certain businesses that you work with at a certain level, but am I right in saying that kind of this is relevant for anybody? You know, you could literally started your business today, and it could be brand new, it could be just you, it could be something you're doing on the side, whatever, it matters.
Yeah, again, feel really strongly about this being one really beneficial thing that all businesses can do, and it's a fairly... It's not simple. No finance is simple, is it? And it's easy for me to say that, having had all the 20 years of experience of it. But it's a simple sort of four-step process I'm going to walk us through today that anyone can do. And I really believe it leads to sort of incremental improvements month on month for your business. And so it can be really powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll go to the process in a minute. But I think the one thing to, again, kind of highlight is this, how important the numbers are. How important, because I think most people probably know that, but I think, you know, I speak to business owners all the time. They would probably, a lot of them openly admit it's something that they maybe a little fearful of or a little worried about, the understanding. And, you know, we've discussed this before, coming from the background, the jargon and all that kind of thing. But
that's it. I think the jargon can be quite impenetrable sometimes, and I think it really puts people off, and that's a real shame. And one of the things that we do in my business is we work with business owners to help them really understand finance and help them kind of understand the terminology. We always try and speak in as plainer English as we can. And, you know, we really encourage people to ask their questions, because sometimes people have had a bit of an experience of asking those questions in the past and perhaps getting an answer that was incomprehensible to them, full of technical terms. And to be honest, it sort of puts people off asking again. And it's such a shame because, yeah, I really believe that in the numbers lies the story, lies the actions we need to take to grow and better our businesses.
Absolutely. And on that, you know, how important is it, no matter how the size of your business, to look at this regular as well? You know, I'm sure there'll be people who listen or watching this who pretty much have no idea where the numbers are until they get the email from their accountant saying, here's your year-end accounts or whatever it might be. And that's very relevant. I've just literally got the email this morning with mine on, so very relevant for me. But anyway, yes, how important is that to keep an eye on it on a, obviously we're talking every month here, but on a regular basis?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, monthly is ideal. That's how you're going to get the most benefit out of it. But quarterly would work, you know, if you just can't find the time for it on a more regular basis. But yeah, I mean, just getting your year-end accounts, usually not with a lot of insight as well into those, isn't a lot of help. And that's what we're all about, is actually understanding the numbers to get that insight out every month, because there's absolute gold in there. It might be good news, it might be bad news, but at least if it's bad news, you know, and you can do something about it, because getting your results sort of, gosh, what, 9 months after your year end, it's gone, isn't it? There's nothing you can do. There's hardly anything you can do for the next year, because that's nearly finished as well. So, yeah, this is something that takes some time. It is a time investment, but it's so worthwhile.
Yeah, no, and I guess kind of my experience of it is that the accountants and the bookkeeper is obviously important, because it's the regulatory stuff you have to get done, and it's the boxes you have to take. And it, you know, it does help, especially, I suppose, if you're a business that's been in a long time and there's that kind of comparison and trends and all that kind of stuff. And it's important, of course it is. But it doesn't help you make decisions about what you're doing and how you're doing it today and tomorrow, really, because that's, like you quite rightly said, it's gone. It's about thinking about how you do things that will make a difference, you know, speaking as we speak now, through 2023. You know, getting your next set of accounts, whenever you get them during next year, will not help you make a decision in 2023, because, as you quite rightly said, that's gone. Is that fair, do you think, kind of my outside view of it?
Absolutely.
Good. I'm glad I'm not. I'm talking sense for once. So let's move on to this. How do we do it? How do we use those numbers? How do I use it to help me?
Okay, so we're going to talk about a framework of four steps, essentially. So the first is to prepare. The second is to compare. The third is to question. And the fourth is action. So hopefully fairly easy to remember. Prepare, compare, question, and action. So prepare is about having a budget in place for the year before you start it, or very close to just after you've started it, if we're doing this in January. And just on that note, I think it's really important that, you know, we don't say, oh, it's too late now, it's January, we can't do it, we're already into the year. Let's not use that as an excuse. Let's do this anyway, you know, and set ourselves up for success. So preparing is about having a budget in place. And I'm going to show some examples later, which, Mike, we've just had a chat about the fact that won't translate that well on audio. But perhaps this is something people could go back to and watch the video for if they're listening to the audio, because hopefully it will bring it all to life a little bit. And also we're going to try and make the file available, so it's there for people if they want to have a go at this themselves. It'll give you a real kickstart to preparing something. So we're talking about a profit and loss budget. So, you know, we could go steps further with this, and we could have a cash flow budget as well, but it all starts to get quite complicated. And rather than try and do that today, we're going to keep it simple and have what we call a profit and loss budget. So that is basically in the same format as you get your year-end accounts. It's showing you the P&L is really about what you have earned and what you have incurred as a cost. So it's not about whether the cash is in or the cash has gone out. It's about, have you incurred an expense, and have you earned a revenue? So for example, if you've sold something but you haven't received the money because you're getting it 2 months later, it would still be in your profit and loss. So that's just something to bear in mind as we go through things. Cash is more about what's been received and what's been paid. We're going to park that at the moment. So profit and loss is about earned and incurred. So we're going to prepare a budget and we're going to do it on a monthly basis so that we've got numbers for every single month. So when I talk about this profit and loss versus cash flow, let's just do a quick example on that so people really understand what I mean. So if you pay rent, for example, we can come back to that in a little bit, Mike, if that's all right. Sorry. If you pay rent, for example, you might pay it quarterly in advance. So in a cash flow statement, that would all go out in month one. And then there'd be nothing going out in month two and month three because you've already paid it. And that's your cash flow version. In a profit and loss account, what you do is you say, well, I know I pay £300 a month for this bit office. So you put £300 a month in your P&L forecast. So we'll come back to that later, but that's just the view that we're taking in the profit and loss. So we're going to prepare a budget. And then each month end, we need to be comparing to what we thought we were going to do, what we thought our results were going to be. So this is our compare section. You need to kind of have your bookkeeping up to date, otherwise you can't do it. But you want to be looking at what your actual results for that month were compared to your budget for that month. Now, a lot of people don't even get to that stage. And if you then get to that stage, some people stop. But actually, just going a little bit further with that can really help you dig out some insight to take action on. So step three is question. So it's a little bit like being three again and asking why. And you've just got to really get under the skin of, for example, why your sales are down compared to what you thought, or why your costs are higher compared to what you thought. So it's questioning and questioning until you get the answer. And that might mean you need to go to speak to different team members. Might mean that you need to look at timesheet records, or you need to get some invoices out and understand something a bit better. But just keeping going on that until you know the reason for the variance can then help you think about what you're going to do about it. So that's step four, which is action. So what are the actions you can take from this knowledge you've dug out of your finances, basically? And I'd really encourage those actions to be noted down monthly, assigned to somebody who's going to own that action, and done before you repeat this exercise the following month. Let's make sure, you know, these things don't just get put to the bottom of the to-do list again, but something happens. And that's how you'll start to get those incremental gains.
No, that's good, actually. And I'll probably share a really quick example, if you don't mind, Danny, kind of thing has really helped me, actually. So when I was looking at my numbers last year, when it was looking at our income for the business, it used to be very pretty much all membership led. And it kind of, over time, it's evolved where actually the percentage we've noticed that we get more from the event income now. It's not a huge part, but it's bigger.
Yeah.
What that led me, my thinking to be is, okay, well, how can we work well with that? How can we get more from that?
Yeah.
And that was the start of the process, which led to the new membership that we've got, with the digital membership, actually. So it was something that actually the reasoning for bringing it in is that it's actually different. It's not really a financial reason. It's a different reason. But it got the thinking going towards that.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. And when we come on to the example I've got for you, you'll see a lot of the actions are not finance-based. They're operational, but you're seeing the action from getting into the numbers.
Yeah, it's almost that spark, isn't it, that kind of just gets your thinking going.
Yes, that's why it
wasn't as relevant as it is.
Yeah, I mean, this is why, you know, big businesses have board meetings. This is what they do as part of that. They review what's happened the previous month, and, you know, everyone from every department's represented, and they've to answer the questions as to why and take away actions to do something about it. So if we can have our own mini little board meeting, even if it's just us, I think it's a really good discipline to get into.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Right, do you want to kind of some?
I was going to say, shall we step into a bit of an example?
Let's do it. Let's go for it. Do you want to bring it on the screen now?
Yeah, that'd be brilliant. Thank you.
So like Danny mentioned, obviously we appreciate that people be listening to this podcast. Hopefully you'll get some value from this even just by listening to it. But obviously if you want to look at the kind of numbers and thing we're using, because obviously this is a very visual discussion, we will, it's on the YouTube page, so you can come and watch it and see this. You know, we're bringing this up, it's about 14 minutes into the podcast. If that helps, you can switch over and jump to straight to that part of the recording. But also we'll try and make this available as well, and we'll put links in the show notes for people to have a little look at as well on the side. So all right, I'll leave it to you, Danny.
Yeah, thank you, Mike. So obviously, yeah, if we can make this file available, it could be a good template for people to use to kind of do this for themselves and just give you a bit of a kickstart towards what can seem a daunting task sometimes. So this is my profit and loss account for my made up business, which is called Spark Marketing. And if there are any marketeers watching this and my explanation of the business model is terrible, I apologize, but it's literally just to illustrate the point. So what we've done here, obviously, is we have set up a budget and we've got our income or revenue or sales or turnover noted at the top. Then we've got what we call direct costs. So direct costs are costs that are incurred in order to do the work, basically. So in our example here, we've got revenue of some strategy sessions, we've got video work, and we've got community management. And then in direct costs, we've got the costs of doing that work. So the team, production staff costs. We've got some purchases where we're purchasing some ads or props for videos and things like that. We've got travel costs for going to do the client work. So not if you were going to a marketing event or something, but you know, direct costs that are directly related to this, and then equipment hire. And essentially, by having direct costs separated out separately, we can work out a gross profit margin, which, you know, without getting into every single technical term, essentially is your income less your direct costs is your gross profit margin. And there's a percentage worked out here as well, which is the gross profit margin divided by your income. So this is a good measure to keep an eye on. And you can see what, if you do look at the example, that it creeps up during the year in this example and then drops in July and August, and we'll come on to why that is. Then further down, we've got overhead. So this will be any other costs. So people that are working in your business that are not directly creating the marketing products in this example. So the owner who acts as an MD and is kind of across everything, and the sales team. And then we've got things like all your other overhead. So your business rent, your power, your other travel expenses, computer expenses, etc. And we essentially get down to your net profit in the end, which is the gross profit margin we had before, less all of these overhead costs. So in this business, they've got a new product, which is these strategy sessions, and they're hoping that they will pick up over the year. So in the first few months, they're assuming they sell sort of two of these, and then four in the next quarter, six, and then eight. So that they're forecasting they might sell £60,000 worth of these in a year. And then we've got video. So essentially, they think they probably do about 10 of these a month, and they're expecting this to stay quite steady this year because it's not something they're putting a lot of focus on. So they're expecting they'll sell about 30,000 a month. But this is a business that sells to schools, and so in July and August, they know that their revenue could dip off a little bit, so they've reduced it there in the forecast. And at Christmas time, just with it being a quiet month in December, they've assumed a little bit less. This is just all your basic budgeting techniques. Community management, they are trying to sell more of this. So they're assuming that essentially they get one extra client every 2 months. That's how they forecasted out the revenue. Now, we never know what it's going to be. All we can ever do is do our best estimate. So if we know that we're really going to focus on community management, for example, and we're going to put effort into that marketing, you know, it's reasonable for us to assume that it steps up in the year.
It's an interesting point, actually, Jenny. Do you think people maybe get, for things like forecasting, people get too hung up on, I have to get this right? Now, all sorts of variables that could happen throughout the year. You know, imagine if you'd have been doing this in January 2020. Anticipated a global pandemic. So,
absolutely.
You know, and that's obviously a very extreme example, but there will be less extreme examples that probably happen to all of us in the year. So not to get too hung up about it is a, for want of a better phrase, a best guess.
Absolutely. That's all it can ever be. We get it wrong. If you got it right, you'd have some kind of crystal ball, and none of us do. So we do our best guess at the time and we get something down, because otherwise you'd just be sort of paralyzed by it and you'd never do it. And with some of my businesses, we do a budget for the year. If something really fundamental changes, so I had a client that lost a really big client of theirs during the year, and the business model just had to change. Like, they had to lay people off and things because it was a fundamental change in the business. So we did a sort of budget version 2 or a reforecast, because that's a fundamental change. But other than that, you should just stick to your budget for the year and know that you'll never get it spot on. But as long as you understand the reasons why it's different, that's all we're trying to get out of this. So don't be afraid to just put something down, because it's a start, and you'll learn where you've been too optimistic. And that's usually the way it goes. You're usually a bit too optimistic with things. You'll learn that, and the next time you do it, you know, you'll be more realistic with your forecast, and you just get better at it. Okay, so that's income. And then direct costs. So we've got, as I said, purchases for ads and props. The staff costs. So in here, we've assumed 5 people, but we've assumed that in September, we have an extra person because the work's ramping up again. And we also have an assumed pay rise in there of 4%. So factoring in these things is really helpful in getting things as accurate as you can. Then we've got travel costs to go to the client and do the work. And so obviously those step down in July and August when the revenue had stepped down. And then we've got some equipment hire, which again steps down in the quieter months. So if we move down to overheads, just fly through these really, because you don't need to know, you just need to make these relevant for you, you know, and understand roughly what you're paying a month for things. So in here, we've got the owner's salary. We've got a sales team that's one person working 3 days a week. We've got some interest received because you can actually get some interest this year. It's been a while since we've seen any interest. Business rent, marketing expenses, all the things you'd expect to see, like your council tax and insurance, all these things, a bit of legal and professional and accountancy fee type things. And then that brings you out to your net profit. There's a space down here to put in some comments. So I've put in some of the things that I've explained to you. So some of the assumptions that you've made, it's useful and it's kind of good practice to note down. So you, when you go back to this in April, and it's been a while, you can understand what you were thinking at the time and why you assumed the things you did. So here we've got video activity steps down in July and August because of school holidays and slows in December. We've got the fact that we've assumed a new staff member from September 23, and we've assumed a salary increase. So that is sort of the basics of putting together a profit and loss account. So that's your budget there. You've got your prepare done. Have you got any questions on that, Mike?
No, and I think it's, like I said, I think one of the things for people is don't worry too much about getting it right. You know, it's educated guess is probably the best way of saying it. You know, things can change. But the importance of this kind of looking and having an overview of your business is really, really important. And it can just shine a light on things so that you just didn't expect it to shine a light on, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. You will find things that you didn't expect. So I'm going to show an example of that now and move on to step two, which is to compare. So this is our performance review for January. So these are our actual results here in column B. This is what we expected in the budget. So this is the exact same numbers as we saw on the previous page for January. So what we've then got is what we call a variance column. So just a difference column. What is different and by how much is what that's working out. So this is where the gold is really. Having a look through these variances to understand what's different and what the reason is. And, you know, even if it's actually a positive variance, so here we've got a positive variance where we've spent less than we expected to, even look at those, because there's good stuff in those as well. You know, there'll be good things that have happened that you can try and make happen more often in that positive variance. So if I show you, I've hidden it in here. What we found out when we looked at these variances, basically, here we can see the strategy session. We've only sold one in the month and we were hoping we were going to sell two. So having had a look at that, we found that that was due to the marketing of this new service taking longer to flow through to sales. But we could see we had a strong pipeline of leads for this service, so not too concerned on that. The next variance is on purchases. So here we forecast to spend £300, but we've actually spent £500, so we've overspent by £200 here. So having dug into that, we found that that was due to basically the ads that we were buying to promote client videos, and we'd overspent on those because a limit to stop ad spend hadn't been set correctly. Next, we can see production staff costs. Now those were higher than expected because overtime had been worked by the community management team. So we spent around 13,000 and we expected to spend 11,800. So we've overspent by £1,400 because the community management team, and remember, community management was their new service line, we're having to do overtime. The next one is the travel cost to clients. And although we've done about the same amount of client work that we expected, we've overspent by £600 there. And we found that that was due to staff all traveling separately and not, you know, sharing a car and going together. And then equipment hire, on this one, we have actually saved some money. So we thought it would cost us £750 to do the jobs we had in the budget, and it cost £600. So looking into that, we found that it was actually a new equipment hire company that had been used as a one-off, but they were cheaper. So they're the main things that we found from this review. And if you look at overheads, they were pretty much in line. Slight underspend on postage and packaging and stationery, but nothing to talk about there. So what we've then done at the bottom, and that, like we said, this template will be available for anyone who thinks it's of use to them, is we've got an action section at the bottom. So this is step four, really. After you've done the, you ask the questions to get to those reasons we've just been through, it's saying, okay, now we know these things, what can we do about it that will improve our performance next time? So we've got six actions here and six owners. And if you start running this process, it's brilliant to, you know, make sure there is an owner for these actions. It might only be you. It might only be me in my business. But, you know, if you've got a team, try and share the load, try and get them helping you, and have an owner against these actions, and come back around this process next month and make sure they're done. So the first action is to move all the equipment hire to the new company, so they can save money every month going forwards now from using this new company that they found that's going to charge them lower rates for just as good equipment. Action two is reviewing the marketing strategy for the strategy sessions. God, that's a mouthful. Is it just taking time to bed in, or is a new approach required? Action three is to document the process for purchasing ads and roll that out so everybody knows about it. And action four, linked to that, is to ensure that ad limits are correctly set on every job to try and stop that overspend ever happening again. Action five is reviewing timesheets for the community management team to understand why overtime was required. So we've got this new product, community management. Are we over-servicing it? Have we priced it too low? These are the things to really get into to understand, you know, and make sure you can improve or maintain your profitability. And action six is to ensure that the team understand the importance of managing travel costs, and that the car share and any exceptions to that need to be signed off by Mike. Mike, made up Mike.
You'll be asking me to sign up. That will be a good thing.
Not you. Mike, the video team leader. So this is a totally made up example, and I really do apologise for probably getting loads of phraseology wrong and things. But hopefully it just brings it to life a little bit in terms of what type of information you can find if you're just prepared to put some time in to get the numbers together and dig a little deeper.
No, that's great, Danny. And I was just thinking then, actually, and obviously we can bring that back up on screen if we need to, but there's a couple of points I've really taken from that. And the first one is that finance kind of essentially dictates everything else that goes on in your business, because, you know, everybody listening or watching this will be running their business for some different reasons. Some people want to be growing it and earning millions. Other people want it as a lifestyle business and kind of everything in between. And that's all fine. There's no right or wrong answer to this. But definitely, the finance will dictate those things. Whatever happens, you need to know. And being up with your numbers on a regular basis matters so much, because every decision you make will kind of have this as a, I guess, the core, the starting point.
I think that's really observant and true, Mike. I think whilst you don't want the tail wagging the dog, you know, you don't want to be making decisions purely for finance reasons or accounting reasons, but you really, really do need to know that, you know, your business is making money and will provide you with whatever income it is that you're aiming for. You know, it's easy when you've provided a service and you're really passionate about it to fall into a bit of a trap of sort of I don't know, feeling like it's a duty to provide your service almost. And I've been to businesses that have underpriced chronically for years, and they don't really appreciate the value of their product or service in the market, and appreciate, you know, just how, you know, unique it is, and how they should be pricing to make a profit. It's not a dirty word, to make a profit. You know, that is essentially what we're all here to do. And that profit you're aiming for might be a modest, if it's a lifestyle business, and that's brilliant. Lots of lifestyle businesses make a lot of money as well. But yeah, I think it's a money mindset thing, and that's probably not what we're here to discuss today, but it's not a dirty word or in any way shameful to make money.
No, and there's kind of two sides to that as well. You might be a business where you're running your business, and I'll keep numbers really simple for my purpose, if nothing else. And you want to pay yourself £1,000 a month, and you're happy with that, and you're absolutely, that's exactly what you need from it.
Yeah.
After a few months, you're keeping on your numbers, obviously you realise you're making £3,000 a month. Now, obviously at that point, you might decide, great, I'm earning more money, so I'm happy with that. Or you also might decide, okay, we can actually do more things here. We can help, obviously it depends again what your business is.
Yeah.
You might decide, ooh, I can help more people. Or you might be in a mindset of, I want to earn £1,000 a month because I want to have, that's enough for me for my balance of life. And you might go, okay, do you know what? I only need to work 3 days a week. That's what I have to do, you know, and obviously everyone's different and everyone's got different circumstances, but that could be the case. You say, well, do you know what? I don't need to work Mondays and Fridays anymore because I'm earning £3,000 a week. Drop in 2 days, £1,000 is what my number will be. And that, again, that's perfectly good.
Yeah. And having a regular review of your numbers, it's about opening up options and understanding what's possible. In your example, you might think, do you know, I am killing myself working for this money in this business, but I'm earning more than I thought I was, so I can bring in some help. You know, it's just real insight. We always talk about finance insight, and that insight being the building blocks to make things better every month. And I really think for any size of business, this is valuable.
100%. And the other kind of point I picked up on there actually was, it's actually more of a, it's not really a finance point, it's a real general business kind of learn point that I've learned over the years is, I think maybe a lot of us, and I know I'm guilty of this, I'm as guilty as anyone is, I spend my finance time doing my bookkeeping and getting the stuff that I need to do in place.
Right.
Not so much about the thinking about the numbers side of things. And maybe a good learn for me would be get someone else to do that, who is firstly better and could do it quicker than me. And my time, the time that I decide that I have on, whether it's time or energy or a bit of both, to think about numbers, actually it's the strategic and thinking side I should be concentrating on. I think this equates to a lot of different areas of business for a lot of us as well, but that's one of the notes I've put down. Basically, get someone to do your bookkeeping was the note.
And unfortunately, I can't pitch for that because we don't do that. But that is a really good point. I think, you know, there's bookkeepers out there who will get through your bookkeeping in a third of the time you will probably. You know, they know every trick in the book on zero to make things get in there quicker. And, you know, they're probably more accurate than most of us. And if they can update your numbers on a monthly basis and present them back to you, almost give you those numbers for you to then ask questions about and dig into, like you say, you're spending your time on getting that insight out and really making the best use of your time.
And I think it's a very real example for me. I remember a few weeks ago I was sitting down and I need to do some work. I'm doing some strategy work, but general for next year, and one of the parts I need to get me bookkeeping update, and you mentioned it right at the start of this conversation. And it wasn't up to date, so I spent then however long it took me to get that up to date. By the time I've done that, I need to do other things. I didn't do the stuff I needed to do. And I think that's, you know, it's a real good business lesson that actually it's not just finance, but I think in this case it is, you know, it's very relevant to this conversation.
Yep. Bookkeepers are worth their weight in gold. Find a good one and hang on to them.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. So now I think you've kind of raised some really interesting points, and I'm sure other people are taking other things that's relevant to them, because we're all different. But that's been really useful, Danny. Thank you. I think I'm glad we use the example. I know we thought about that with this going out as a podcast, but I think that for people who
you know, they listen to the first 15 minutes or so and it's really resonated with them, going and watching the video when they can,
yes,
I think will be really, really beneficial.
And I'd love to hear people's comments, because obviously ordinarily we work with businesses that are sort of between 1 and 5 million turnover, so a little bit bigger, getting to a bit of scale. But we do want to kind of start to try and help slightly smaller businesses as well. And at the moment we are working with a couple of clients on sort of a package we're calling Predict, and it is all about putting these forecasts in place for you and helping you with your KPIs you might want to monitor and things like that. So I guess firstly, if anyone's interested in that, get in touch. But also I'd just be really interested to know people's comments on if this is helpful, if we're kind of explaining things, you know, to the right level, I suppose. It's sometimes a little bit hard to come at things from the perspective of not knowing finance when you know it pretty well. So it would actually be really good feedback and really help us in terms of what we're trying to develop. So if anyone does have any comments on this and how it could be more accessible and more usable for people, I'd be really interested in hearing those. So please get in touch.
And that's great. And that comes to my last question really, really perfectly, actually. You know, if people do want to find out more about the stuff that you do or get in touch, give feedback, obviously they can give that to me, but also, you know, how do they find you?
Well, I am a prolific pest on LinkedIn. I'm on there every day, so you'll find me there. But we also have a website, which is wainwrightconsulting.co.uk, and you can get in touch through there. Always happy to have a bit of an introductory chat with people. So just let me know.
Yeah, and I would say to anyone, to encourage to connect with Danny actually on LinkedIn and things like that, because I think, you know, people will know that. I've said this before on other podcasts, you know, I come from a finance background before, and it can be a really inaccessible world. And I think I would say that Danny makes it accessible as part of the stuff that you do on social media and things like that. So yeah, you know, it can be, for, like I said, I've got that background. So even for me, who's got a background, I'm 10 years plus in finance and understanding the jargon and technology, sometimes I feel a bit overwhelmed by it all. And when my own business,
One thing that I hear time and time again when we start work with new clients, even in these businesses that are sort of growing to a bit of a scale now, is that they've asked these questions before and they've sort of had a bit of a jargon-filled answer that they couldn't interpret at all, and they've maybe tried a second time, but they don't try a third. And then that opportunity to learn is lost. So we always encourage everyone to ask questions, and we really try and explain things in a way that's jargon-free and, you know, demonstrated so that you learn. And, you know, we want you to keep asking questions, because this stuff's powerful. If you understand it, it can really help you push your business on.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think, I know I've made the note that I kind of feel like I knew a lot of this stuff, but this reminder's really helped me actually at a really good time. So, kind of the premise of this podcast really is, you know, to teach me, and you've definitely helped me with that. So thank you very much.
Oh, brilliant.
And Alison, most importantly, thank you very much for coming on this. I'm sure loads of people got some benefits, so thank you very much, Danny.
I hope so. I hope people watch it when they realise it's about finance. But it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
I hope you enjoyed this chat today, and like me, you learned something new from our wonderful expert. So if you'd like to hear from more of our sessions, please subscribe on whatever platform that you get your podcast from to hear more. And also, we'd love to meet you at some point at one of our upcoming events. We, the Northern Affinity, hold events all across the north of England, and we'd love to meet new people and have guests along. So please come along and check out our website or all the details in the show notes. Thank you very much for listening, and see you next time.